Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. It's kind of a, to me, it's kind of a bittersweet. It's not the last interview, but it's going closing in on being the last interview with State Representative Smitty Pignatelli, someone I have the highest respect for. He's been in public life for a long time. He is truly, in my opinion, a civil servant. He's not a politician. And I mean that, Smitty, as a compliment. We've known each other a long time. I had hair when we first met. and that's been a while. How are you doing, buddy?
Things are good. No complaints. The elections are over and counting the days now, which is, Mike, I agree with you. It's somewhat bittersweet,
yeah.
But I'm looking forward to the next chapter, whatever that may be.
Yeah. And when you, like with me, when I had to call it quits, I had a heart issue, but you know, it took an adjustment. There was a true adjustment period.
Well, yeah, you know, but I remember years ago when I was a kid, tagging along with my father all those years, and we ran into a former mayor of Pittsfield, and it was in the early 90s, and my father was getting ready to retire as a county commissioner, and then a year later, leaving the Board of Selectmen after 32 years. And the mayor told my father, he asked my father, he says, "Are you ready for retirement, Johnny?" And my father said, "Yeah, I think I am." He says, and the mayor said, "I hope you are, because I wasn't." And he told a story that he would walk down North Street, he'd see people and businesses, and they'd be patting him on the back. And, "Hey, Mr. Mayor, hey, Mayor, keep up the good work. You're doing a great job." He says, and then the mayor told us, and if I wasn't there in person, I'm not sure if I would have believed the story, but he says, "I walked down the same street, saw the same people the day I left office, and nobody spoke to me." And he struggled for a while because he believed he was important in hindsight, but his position was important, but the people didn't view him that way after he left office. So my dad never missed a beat. So I feel very comfortable, and I feel I'm gonna miss some things. Don't get me wrong.
It was an
interesting story that I heard many years ago from a well-respected elected official that left but wasn't prepared to leave. I really feel I'm prepared to leave. I've done a good job. I feel I've done a good job, and it's time for somebody new. Time for somebody new.
I think that what you need to do now is prepare. And this isn't an aspersion on your successor, but prepare people. You are a senior member of the House of Representatives. The person who will be going there is a junior member. And you have to, I know when I worked on Capitol Hill, one of the old guys, staffer, said to me, "That guy still got to make his bones."
Right.
And that's not it's just the way the system is. You got to build your credibility.
Yeah, it's the way the system is. You're absolutely right, Bill. I mean, I went down there after 11 years as a selectman and 4 years on the county commission, and I felt I knew a lot.
Yeah.
You have a clean slate with everybody that starts with you, and they don't care if you've been in elected office for 20 years or never in elected office at all. But I quickly learned I had much more to learn. And I surrounded myself with a great delegation at that time, and they were great mentors to me, and we built relationships. So, yeah, you know, my successor, and I've had many conversations with her since the election.
Yeah.
You have a clean slate. They don't care you've been a selectman for so many years. You don't care about your time in business or what.
Yeah, well, our friend John Barrett, he was the mayor for what? I think he came over on the Mayflower and got elected mayor.
Yeah.
He goes down there and he said exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
It'd make any difference.
Yeah.
He said it did to me because I kind of knew how to, but to them, they didn't care.
Yeah, the beauty of Rep Barrett is that being mayor, he knew several of the players anyways.
Yes.
But there was other people that didn't care that he was mayor for 26 years,
right.
You know, so he's adapted very nicely and you know, worked his way in there very, very well because he knows how the system works. But to go in there, you know, bright eyed and bushy tailed, you get humbled very quickly.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, that's the way it is. And I think the people, they'll soon find out that it was really great having Smitty there for all those years. But now, listen, I just want to caution you. I notice every time I pick up that you're on a new board. The Polish Princess and I have found out we are busier now than ever we were working. Cautionary tale. Don't stretch yourself too thin.
No, I agree. I've started pumping the brakes already a little bit. And no, you're absolutely right. I want to find some time to enjoy life and sit back and relax a little bit. But I want to stay involved and engaged to try to make the Berkshires great. But I agree with you. You know, you can't get on too many things and spread yourself too thin because you're not doing anybody any favors that way.
No, and you know, as he just passed away. One of my old bosses said to me, you know, there is life after work. You know, and you know, it's very, very, very true that you know, so many people today. I can remember, and I won't get into where, but this person retired on Friday. Monday morning at 8 o'clock, he was back there in civilian clothes.
Yeah.
But his job was his whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hope it all works out. But, you know, like you said, and you really have, you've been an excellent representative of your district. And, but and this is me from my heart, you come from an excellent pedigree.
Well,
your dad and Sil Conte, they were really servants of the people.
Definitely. And I was going through some old archival stuff, and my very first radio ad was I was a public servant, not a politician. And as you heard you were at my event in August, I'm very proud to say after 22 years in the legislature, I feel I'm leaving as a public servant. And never really became a politician, which I never wanted to be anyway. So, yeah, it's all how you look at things and what you're there for. And that's what worries me about politics today. It's becoming more self-service than it is public service.
Yeah.
It's more about me than it is we. And that's the dynamic that I'm not going to miss at all. We have to send people down there who are passionate about the right things and are there for the right reasons. And I sometimes think that tide is changing.
Yeah, and when you take a look at the last races, I mean, what I found and I think you found. Tell me about you. I know about the other guy. Tell what are you gonna do? I've read the book at least twice, maybe three times. Man of the House by Tip O'Neill. Yep. And the two things that sticks in my head, and listen, at this stage in my life, I forget where I parked the car. So, but one was the lady down in Dorchester who come up and said, "Hello, Mr. O'Neill, I didn't vote for you." And he said, well, I'm paraphrasing, I mean, "Why?" He said, "You didn't ask me to, the other guy did."
Right.
And the other one was a young member came up to him and said, the people in my district don't want this and the whips on me to vote for it. And he said, who put you here? The whip or the people of your district?
That's right. Yep.
Oh, for your district. I don't see that today.
Yeah, no, I've told everybody who's ever sat next to me in the House of Representatives, and I've leaned over to them and I said, I've been here 5 years, been here 10 years, been here 15, whatever it's been. I says, I have yet to find a single person in this building that ever voted for me on election day. And they look at me like I got two heads. And I'm saying, because the people that hire and fire you are in your district, not on Beacon Hill. So don't lose perspective of it. And sadly, Bill, I've seen colleagues come and go because they started to believe that Beacon Hill was real world and they weren't paying attention to the people back home. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting time the next few years. I remember when my daughter, she's now 30, was very, very small because, as you know, we're in that New York Albany TV market.
Right.
Watching people running for Congress or mayor over there. And at the end of a 30-second TV commercial, my daughter would turn to me and say, What was that about? I didn't learn anything about the person running. All they did was criticize their opponent. And this is where the politics is coming into play, where we're not learning what the candidate is running for. We're just learning what the candidate doesn't like about their opponent. And I think it's counterproductive to what people really should demand on in public service.
You hit it right on the head. And I've more people since the election, I don't care what side you voted on, more people have said they're candidates, but I don't know today what they're going to do for me.
Right.
And the Democrats, and I'm an independent now because of the show, but the Democrat, I was born and raised a Democrat, worked blue collar, firefighter, nurse, mom and dad. But when you think about back then, when I was a kid, Kennedy was running, and the big criticism, criticism, I guess is the right word, or worry, was the Pope will be the president because he was a Catholic, the first Catholic.
Yeah.
And when you stop and think about how far we have come through the current time, and I don't know I don't know anymore. I'm an old man. And I see good people run for politics and just get beaten up.
Well, but Bill, next year we're going to celebrate our 250th anniversary as a country.
I remember it well, the first one.
We're still babies.
Yeah.
On the world stage, when you think about it.
Yeah.
You think about John F. Kennedy in our lifetime. Oh, my God, he's a Catholic. How can we elect a Catholic?
That's exactly right.
And then you fast forward, you think about Ronald Reagan. Oh, my God, he's been divorced. This was all in our lifetime and not hundreds of years ago. So we're still evolving. We're still growing in this country. And I think, the social media hasn't helped at all. But I think we have to just keep it in perspective about the shifting tides that we all go through, all historically. And the fear of Kennedy as a Catholic or Reagan as a divorcee. I mean, come on, let's keep it in perspective. And they're representing what society has sadly become. So, but I think good quality people are finding it harder and harder to run for office because of that scrutiny and the, trying to dig out every closet you've ever been involved with.
Yeah.
We all have skeletons in our closet. There's no one who's listening to your show today that doesn't have a skeleton in their closet. But good quality people are going to say, you know what? I'd rather be home on the weekends with my family. I'm not going to be a 24/7 news cycle top.
Yeah.
And I can probably make more money in the private sector. This is why good quality people are staying out of public office.
Yeah.
And what I say is sometimes the JV team runs and sometimes the JV team wins.
That's right.
And I think that's what we're seeing more of in government today.
And your dad's era, Kennedy's era, your era, people did it to be public servants. You made an interesting point. What did somebody tell me the other day? And somebody we know, they said they're on these programs. They want to see how many clicks they get on their page.
Yep.
And they say wildest stuff. Well, we lost the Democrats, and the views and opinions expressed on this program are, and they are, those are my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the Mayor's Office, Peter White in the City Council, and or all the wonderful construction workers in downtown Pittsfield. Thank you. We were the party, Democrats, of real tabletop kitchen table issues. I mean, I can remember being at the kitchen table with my parents discussing Kennedy, discussing Conte. My parents were die in the wool Democrats. Voted for Conte every time.
I was going to say, I'm a Democrat too, but Bill, you know what? Look at the Berkshires. Silvio Conte, 32 years as our blue-collar Republican congressman. We have 30 years of Republican state senators. Jack Fitzpatrick, Peter Weber, Jane Swift, who went on to become the acting governor. I mean, people vote for the person now. Not so much. I don't want to play party politics here today, no. But people want quality people running for office. And look at Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker was the most popular governor in the entire country as a Republican from Massachusetts. Now, let's look at the people and the substance, not so much their party. And I think that's how we can get things done.
And what are you going to do for me?
Sure.
You know, what's in it for me? Why should I vote for you? And he said, if I vote for him, he's going to not tax tips. And then all of a sudden, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
One of the things, and this is very personal, I usually don't do, really angers me is Social Security. Mm. They tax your Social Security. Well, you already have taxed it once.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And now he wants to, you know, he wants to do away with that. I hope he's successful. We'll wait and see what the pudding's made out of.
Well, you know, the other problem with Social Security, and we're one of only, I think, 5 or 6 states left in the country, is that, you know, school teachers don't pay Social Security.
Right.
You know, but they could have worked in the private sector for a long time. But if they didn't get their number of quarters in, there's an offset. They're actually getting less Social Security because they were public employees and not private employees. I think that's wrong. I even told Congressman Neal, who we both have great admiration for, that offset is wrong. Then just give me back what I paid in to Social Security, and I'll invest it however way I want, or I'll spend it and go through it, and I have nobody to complain about. But that offset, I think, is unfair, and it penalizes school teachers, policemen, firemen, because they didn't get enough quarters in it. It's unfair. It's very unfair.
Yeah, and you know, and just there are, and like you said, we are a new nation. We are still stumbling. We're learning and stumbling.
Yeah.
What concerns me are the wars. What concerns me are our enemies. What concerns me is their ability to hack into every kind of attack the Smithsonian or somebody. Oh, Library of Congress.
Like I say, not to get too partisan politics, but we can talk about the wall on the southern border.
Yeah.
What this country needs, in my opinion, is a firewall, not a border wall. We need to protect, you know, and nobody carries cash anymore.
No,
everything's electronic. You pay your bills online. You go to the ATM machine. You can get cash. Or you swipe your card. This country needs a firewall for protection. I was talking to a contractor in Boston just last week, who paid an invoice online electronically, only to find out that $3 million went to the wrong account because that business was hacked.
Right. So
now people are actually cutting their checks to do that. We need a firewall. And I don't hear anybody at the federal level actually talking about the financial protections. Everything, our grid system for power, our gas system for energy, is all done electronically and by computers. And we've seen people getting hacked into.
Yeah.
We ought to be talking about a firewall, not anything else.
Well, you know, and I can't agree with you more. As far as technology, we are behind some of our, in my opinion, behind some of our adversaries on the nefarious side of the coin.
Sure.
You know, and you're right. I mean, we almost got, our bank account almost got hit because we were staying went to Florida for a couple of weeks to visit my sister, staying at a place that had an unsecure network.
Right.
So, next thing you know, but fortunately, and I always say this, I got to give credit where credit's due. Pittsfield Cooperative Bank, Jay Anderson, Jennifer Simony, I will tell you, I will be indebted to you for the rest of my life. They caught it. They caught the cat.
No, the banks have done a fantastic job. But as you know, Bill, historically, the crooks are always one step ahead.
One step ahead.
So it's something that even the banks are spending tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars to protect our bank accounts. But there's always someone who's developing a bigger widget that can tap in.
A little, yep, fine. Because they have nothing better to do. They know these machines, these computers, they don't work. They just sit there all day and try to break the firewall.
You know?
But what do you think, what's been the most challenging part of your job as all these years as a state rep? I'm not going to let you take the 5-hour drive.
Well, I was going to say, other than the drive, which has gotten worse, you know, it just, I was always up to the challenge. I would get frustrated if, you know, you didn't get the victories or you didn't get exactly what you were looking for. But I just believe in politics, it's the art of compromise. You can't get everything you want. You have to be willing to kind of negotiate and tweak some things, give a little bit, gain a little bit. So it's always been a challenge, but I've kind of enjoyed that challenge. So the frustration, maybe that's a different question you should ask, is the frustration is, you know, fighting for scraps out here in the Berkshires. And I think the delegation has done extremely well. But when you put it in perspective with what, you know, the city folks get, it's a very different conversation. So we have a lot of challenges going forward in the Berkshires. You know, the shrinking population, the aging demographic, the unfilled jobs, workforce development, housing affordability. Those are issues that are not going to go away very quickly, but we have to stay focused on them for the next generation. And I think the West East Rail, investments in housing, workforce training, you know, filling these jobs, I think will change our population decline. It will make our county younger on the average age, which will be beneficial to everybody. And I think those are the challenges going forward. And I hope and I think this delegation, the new delegation in January, will continue fighting for those things. But the things I've been fighting for, you may see the benefits 10 years from now. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Because that's how the system works.
Yeah, and you know, we I'm a big one. Talk is, anybody can talk. It's people who can put the talk into action.
Sure.
And right now, that we are an aging part of the state. We're an aging state, actually. But what are we doing to address that? And there's simple things like, how about a couple more handicapped parking spaces on, say, North Street? You know, I drove out to Walmart the other day. There wasn't a handicapped spot to be had.
Wow.
They were all filled.
Yep.
That tells you something. And I know Peter Marchetti's looking into that. He's working on things like that. But workforce, it's a mentality today. You know, business owners. I mean, you were a business owner.
Yep.
Guys talked to me confidentially. They don't even quit. They just stop coming in.
Yeah. No, I think it's a challenge for all businesses. I mean, I went to an event a couple of weeks ago, and the speaker talked about the millionaires of tomorrow will be the electricians and the plumbers.
That's right.
Because we can't find them now. So talking to young people today, you know, not everybody wants to go to college. Not everybody can afford to go to college. Not everybody needs to go to college. We have to change that narrative of a career path in the Berkshires. And the electricians and the plumbers, you know, will be the millionaires of tomorrow. If we invest in them today, they'll be having a nice career path. An auto mechanic at Haddad Motors can make $90,000 to $110,000 a year. You know, that's a good income to be able to call the Berkshires their home. We need to be exposing young people to those opportunities and changing that narrative. So the kid who wants to go to college, absolutely, let's support them all we can, get them out there. But we need nurses, we need doctors, we need engineers out here in the Berkshires, but we also need auto mechanics and electricians and plumbers. So let's have a multifaceted approach to career paths and workforce development, and not just be pushing kids to college who maybe are not prepared, not interested, or can't afford to go there to make us feel better because we're sending our kids to school.
Well, I have to congratulate, going back to like Dr. Jake Eberwine, Dr. Jake McCandless, Joe Curtis, they elevated vocational to a social status that it never held before.
That's right.
Wear red blazers. When I was in school, we used to wear college prep or the hockey team wore navy blue. But now these, you're right. George had to actually get a citation from the governor for doing what he did for the Pittsfield school system with Toyota.
That's right. That's right.
And you're exactly right. I was talking to somebody whose kid I was in horticulture. Already been offered jobs, and he's only a junior. You know, so you're right. And the trades, somewhere that got lost. I can remember, you know, my father was a fireman, but he went to Chicago to become an electrician, and he graduated from someplace else. But when he come back, couldn't get a job.
Right, right. Things are very different now. I mean,
very different.
The plumber at my house is 70 years old, you know, trying to find a younger plumber. So I worry 5 years from now, where am I going to find a plumber to fix my toilet or fix my sink?
Exactly.
I remember George Haddad, who George and I have been friends since high school. And he invited me to this announcement several years ago about Toyota USA, the first in the nation partnership at Taconic High School. Those kids could graduate as Toyota certified technicians. And as you know, Bill, our newer cars were driving computers on wheels.
Right. That's right.
You go to your auto mechanic, you plug your car in, the computer diagnostically tells you what's wrong with the car. They pull out a circuit board, put a new one in, say, hey, Bill, thanks very much. That's $500. Don't forget your oil change next week. So they're still doing oil changes, you know, lube oil filters. But we're driving computers on wheels. And I told those kids at that announcement, I said, think about this, guys. And there was one girl in that class. I don't know where she is today. I said, 4 years from now, when your high school classmates are hopefully graduating high school, hopefully in 4 years, hopefully trying to find a job and what they went to school for and trying to deal with anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000 in student debt, you will be making $90,000 to $110,000 a year in Berkshire County. And their eyes lit up like saucers, putting it in perspective. And even some of the families, the moms and dads were there as well, realizing that computer automotive technicians are a career path for people in the Berkshires that maybe wouldn't have been there before because that was considered a dirty job. You know, it's a very different form of profession right now. Down in Lee, the Berkshire Sterile Manufacturing, Clean Room Technology, Boyd Technology across the street. These are good, clean, well-paying jobs in the Berkshires. We got to do a better job attracting people to not only stay here, but also to relocate to the Berkshires. That's what's going to change the Berkshire future in a very positive way if we do it the right way.
I call them now, I don't call them auto mechanics.
Right.
I call them computer mechanics.
Exactly.
Quick story and then we'll go to break. My one of us, and of course it was me, but I'll never own up to it, left the refrigerator door ajar. Then we went to bed. Well, we didn't hear the alarm come up and it's off. So we call an 800 number and got somebody couldn't. And we called another number and it was a wonderful lady and she said, unplug your refrigerator. I said, oh, I already did that. And it didn't come back on. She said, no, unplug it for a minimum of 5 minutes and I will sit here with you. So we did. Plugged it back, boom, 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 started right up.
Yeah.
So I said, wow. I said, can you believe that a refrigerator? You got to. She said, no, it's not a refrigerator. I said, yeah, this is a big box in my kitchen. She said, no, it's a computer that controls the temperature of food that you want to store.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And I thought, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
The Polish princess and I just had carpal tunnel. All robotic.
Yeah.
She had a knee. I had you're right. And one of the things we'll talk about when we come back from the break, I think a lot of people outside my age and younger need to understand it isn't the education today. Schools are a lot different when we were there.
Right.
And I take my hat off to all that they've done at Taconic High School. That I mean, they're like you said, Smitty, there are people there that'll probably graduate and in 5 years make more money than I made in my entire career.
Yep.
But we are here, in case you don't recognize this guy, and I can't believe you don't. But his name is Smitty Pignatelli. I'm very proud to call him a friend, but I'm also very proud to tell people he's a man of integrity. He's been in the state house as a state representative from the Southern Berkshires for a long time. And he's always stood by the people. A lot of people, and it doesn't always have to be big things. You know, if Smitty can make a phone call and get your fishing license reinstated, I don't know what, but no, but it's that kind of a guy he is. And I found with you, Smitty, nothing is too big for you, and yet nothing is too small. If people ask you to do things that people say, oh, you can't ask him that.
Yeah.
You do it, and you do it so easily and caringly.
Yeah. That's what public service is.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. And by the way, and I know some of you, I get your texts. The same person texts me every day. Let me just share this with you. There'll be one of these on my grave. I want you to come by and take it. This is my flag. I don't ask you to love it, respect it, whatever. All I'm asking is please, please don't desecrate it. Don't spit on it, burn it, step on it. Because there's too many people who are buried under it that are friends of mine. Too many people buried under it that are acquaintances of mine. And if you don't believe me, drive to a cemetery on Memorial Day, and you'll see these waving in the wind. And that means that under that flag, there's a person who at one point in their life signed on the dotted line to give their life for this flag. You don't have the right to desecrate it. We'll be right back. WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. And I'm honored and privileged to have today Representative Smitty Pignatelli on my show, a person that deserves all the kudos he gets. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Whoa, like what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Go through the process of making a monthly budget, even if it's not perfect. It's good to be aware of your financial health.
When shopping for insurance, ask your agent to shop around for you and see if you can bundle your policies.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The guy you see sitting there, he is still State Representative Smitty Pignatelli, and a good one. And he's really disappointed that he can't make that 5-6 hour drive every day back and forth to Boston. And he has private parking. Busport people, we got to drive around. Or either that or take a loan on the national debt.
Yeah.
Mark. But Smitty, You've had a beautiful career. You really have.
Well, I've had a good career. No regrets. And but we've worked hard. I've had good people surrounding me. And
yes, you have.
I always say you very rarely hear the word "I" out of my mouth unless I made a mistake. You hear more of "we were successful," "we did this," "we did that," "I made a mistake," and that's how I've gone about this whole career, and trying to do things. I told a group the other day that, you know, I never ever intended to go down there to solve the world's problems, although I'm very proud to be part of some major historical pieces of legislation. But I went down there with the objective to solve your problem of the day, your individual problem, and those are the things that don't always make the headlines. You can't do a press release or a social media tweet about it. But, you know, I learned that from my father years ago, because we get frustrated to see my father when other people were taking credit for things that he did. And I said, "Dad, why are you letting them do that for?" He says, "I know what I did, and the people that I helped know what I did. That's all I care about." And, you know, I'm proud to say I've turned into my father. Because I know what I did, and I know what the people that I helped know what I did, and that's all I cared about. And for that reason, I've had a good run.
That, excuse me, that, and you know, there's some self-satisfaction when you can help somebody in any way, you know, and it to me, it's just when you see these people, they're all of the, you know, "Well, I helped that old lady cross the street." Well, she didn't need help. She's 27 years old, you know. But I kind of subscribe to the same thing. I've known what I've done. If I've helped you and you're appreciative, that's all I can. I don't need to have it all over the place. And we all have causes. And yours was public service.
Yeah.
And I hope your predecessor and all the newly elected people understand, don't say that public service.
Yep. That's what it really is. And it's what it should be. We just happen to get elected every 2 years, but what do you do from the election to the next election? That's the service.
Tell the people your motto. If we do our work every day, we don't have.
I was actually talking to my former chief of staff, who now works in the Biden administration down in D.C. And she reminded me again that if we do our job every day, I truly believe in my heart that the next election takes care of itself. And we just got to get people to do your job every day and don't worry about the next election. Worry about the next generation, not the next election. And by doing your work, it'll all work out.
And you're living proof. Your dad was living proof. Sure. Richie Neal is living proof. I think you're right. But I hope this new generation, I guess is a kind word, of politicians understand that. You know?
Yeah, I hope so. I sometimes get worried about, like you say, it's how many likes did I get on my Instagram or the tweet? Yeah. Did it get forwarded? Did it get commented? You know, I'm not sophisticated enough to look at those things. I'll put it out there. I'll post it. I've heard comments on the street, good, bad, or indifferent. That's the feedback I'm looking for. I'm not counting how many likes I got or how many people didn't look at it. It's not the right approach.
I'm just happy they don't have a little thing there that says dislikes, because after show,
that's true too.
You know, this person takes offense at the flag.
Yeah,
and you're right. It's your First Amendment to say anything you want. I'm just asking you don't desecrate. You can talk about it all you want. Don't desecrate it.
Well, when one pledge I made to myself when I first ran over 30 years ago is that anybody who would write a letter to the editor of our local newspaper who was critical of something I said or something I did, I would pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
You know, and I would just, "Hey, Bill, I saw your letter to the editor. Do you have a few minutes? I just want to clarify a couple of points just to give you the other side of the story." And I can honestly tell you, there's not been ever in my entire career a second letter to the letter written by that person without calling me first to get my take on it.
Isn't that great?
You know, and I think we shouldn't be afraid to engage in conversation. You can write an anonymous tweet or a post on Facebook. Pick up the phone and call your representative. We're representatives. I don't think we're anybody special. You know, I still pump the gas the way you do, and I still shop at the grocery store go to the coffee shop like you do. And I'm not anybody special. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and talk to these people before you write a letter to the editor slamming them for what you think they did. Find out the facts and be more informed.
I don't want to take too much of this, but I was in a situation not long ago where I thought I was caught between MSNBC and CNN. And, you know, being an old cop, you're taught very young, that you have to deal with facts, absolute facts, because Joe Butt is up on giving testimony. If it's your idea, or you're gonna find out that the person that's been arrested, their attorney's gonna take you apart.
Right.
And I guess I don't know what's happened to the media. I mean, I can remember when I was a kid, there was ABC, CBS, and NBC.
Yeah.
And I was my father's remote. You know, Billy, change that to channels.
Yeah.
Right. And that was gospel. You had, you know, Walter Cronkite. You had, now it's more opinion than fact in many cases.
Yeah. I'm in full agreement with you, Bill. They gave us the news. They trusted that we were smart enough to interpret the news and come to our own conclusion.
Yeah.
Now it's just, they're drilling down their opinion on you. And we're all guilty of it, but we all pick our own poison, who we want to listen to, whether it be Fox News and only Fox News or CNN and only CNN. We're picking our own poison. Get different points of view. And, you know, my father always taught me, he says, talk to as many people as possible. Someone may have an idea that you've never thought of. But if we only listen to one person, we're only talk in an echo chamber, we're not really learning anything. And I think we're very fortunate with our Berkshire Eagle.
Yeah.
The local newspaper is providing local news. They have the editorial page for their own opinion.
Right.
But give me the facts and the articles that I can digest. I sometimes worry that younger people are not reading the newspaper like you and I do, still do. Where are they getting their news? They're getting the news out of social media tweets and posts that are sound bites more than substance.
But we don't know where they come from. You can't validate them.
That's right. That's right. So I think we're all guilty of it, young and old. But, you know, try to learn as much as we can and learn the other side. I tell my staff, I get a constituent call me. This is their take on it. Well, talk to the agency that we're talking to, because there's always two sides to a story. We'll learn a little bit more. And the truth lays somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
You know? But if you're only going to listen to one side, you're not doing yourself a good job.
And I have to kind of dovetail what you said. I am so impressed with what the Eagle has done. You know, I interviewed them. I call him the judge, Kevin Moran, years ago when they first purchased it. And they said they were going to bring it home, bring it to be a local newspaper, where the other one, and they have done this. Now, you know, I don't always agree with what they say.
Right, right.
But I don't tell her. But I don't always agree with Roseanne. But I don't tell her.
Yeah.
But they brought it home. They brought us the local scores. If there's an afternoon game in the Red Sox or an evening game in the Red Sox, and you don't know by the time you went to bed that the Red Sox won or lost, then something's wrong with you.
Okay.
It shouldn't be a whole page of Red Sox win. We know that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or Patriots lose or whatever. But I have to take my hat off to the Eagle. First, before I get up, I read it on the phone, and then I go get the paper, and I have to have the tactile of the paper.
Right, right.
But my son, he hasn't bought a paper, and he's 48. He hasn't bought a paper in 48 years.
Yeah, everything's online. Yeah, I like the physical paper myself. But you know, the future technology is, you know, these stupid things right here that we're life dependent upon. But however you read the news, I personally don't care, but read the news.
Read the news, exactly. And just don't read one. You know, we were poor. Well, not, we weren't poor. But we were blue-collar workers in the north end of Pittsburgh. Yep. My father on Sundays bought the Boston Globe, Springfield Union, and we had the Eagle.
That's right.
Because he said, don't just read one thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I do that. I watch the BBC a lot. When I was stationed overseas in South Africa and the UK. But even now they're getting some wonkiness about, they're not like, I always said there was a train crash in Bangladesh and four people were injured. That was it. Now it's, we're checking to see if it was a terrorist activity.
Yeah.
The twist.
Yeah. Everything gets twisted and goes back to the people's cynicism and skepticism in government, you know.
Joe and Mika went to make up with Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, last week he was Hitler.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I think the media has a role in helping to shape public opinion, but just give me the facts, less your opinion and more facts of the topic at hand. So,
and how relevant is it to me?
Right.
Again, I try to watch things that I watch the business news. Why? Because I like to know what's happening in the world business wise.
Yeah.
I watch I think it's I-24, which is the Israeli station. I got to call them up. It's all in Jewish now, and they got the subtitles underneath. I can't read that fast, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's saying I like Bill or I hate him, but it's Smitty, what do you see for the future? I know you've got some you're on – we started, folks. I got to just say Smitty's on boards, and I told him to just take it easy.
I'm going to stay involved in some shape and form, and I believe this is why I encourage everybody to, you don't have to look very far to find someone in your community that needs help.
That's right.
It could be the family across the street. It could be a coworker. It could be someone across town, but you don't have to look very far. And while we need to elect quality people to serve in elected office, public service is community service. And I really believe there's sometimes you can do just as much, sometimes more, and sometimes with greater satisfaction outside of politics than others. And I just encourage people young and old to stay involved, keep the brain stimulated. And that's my goal for the next chapter of my life.
Yeah. I'm retired and with all these people, and some of my buddies and friends retired, and that was it. They got up in the morning and they watched, you know, television. They had their coffee. Then they would go to the coffee shop with mostly guys. They go to the coffee shop and spend 2 hours complaining about the world.
Yeah.
And then go home, have lunch, take a nap.
Yeah.
Right. And then do something outside, perhaps. But they didn't have a reason. I mean, I have to have a reason to get out of bed. I have several irons in the fire. It's like juggling hand grenades and trying to find the one without the pin. But it keeps me going. And I'm not saying everybody should do it, but my best, and you're doing it, you got to stay involved.
Got to stay involved, and you got to have a purpose. My dad always told me that. Whenever you retire, make sure you have a purpose to get up in the morning. You know, my dad was up at 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning He walked up to the town hall from his house, made coffee for the town hall staff for about 25 years. Every day he made coffee for the town hall staff, had a little, you know, social interaction with the staff before the offices opened, got his exercise, walked home. He'd go play golf. He'd go hang out with his friends. He'd do stuff in the yard. He had a purpose. And we all need a purpose in retirement. That's why I don't like to use that word retirement, because it makes me feel old. I'm calling it a reinvention. But I want to have the flexibility to, if I want to go play golf with my son, I can go play golf with my son.
Yeah.
If I want to go visit my daughter, I'll go visit my daughter. But having a purpose is really important. And I've seen a lot of people retire, and I've been to a lot of wakes and funerals 6 months later, you know.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. So have I. I mean, it's, sometimes it's scary.
It's scary, scary. Yeah. I always say the obituaries are either getting younger or I'm getting older. And it's really a combination of the two. But having that purpose, and my dad, God rest his soul, lived to be 95 years old. He had a good run. So have a purpose.
Your dad was, and I tell people this, you want to be a politician, get with the Pignatellis, because they learn from the best. They did. Your dad, and I've told Ben this on the radio, Schmitty knows this. His father would always say, call me John, call me John. I said, you don't understand, Mr. Pignatelli. I don't use the word Mr. for a lot of people anymore. Yeah. And that's how much I respected the guy and your mom. But those things are earned. That's the other piece. Some people think, well, I'm a state rep, you should respect me.
Yeah. No, I've told my staff for 22 years at that state house, I have a very important job, but Smitty is not an important person. Let's work together and get it done. And I've been to many events, one last week. And, we'd like to introduce Representative so-and-so, Senator so-and-so, Chairman so-and-so, and Smitty.
Yeah.
It was just Smitty.
I like that.
And everybody in the room knew it, and they knew who I was. And that is very different, because I wanted to be known as Smitty, not as Representative. And I think that made me kind of stay more in tune with the people that I was trying to serve and the people I was working with, that I was nobody special, but I was there to work for you.
Smitty Pignatelli, state representative, personal friend of the fat bald guy. For your years of public service, I applaud you.
Well, thank you.
Years of being Smitty, I applaud you. And for the years of coming from one of the most wonderful families, your entire family, your sisters, your brother, your mom and dad. That's the other thing. You know, I worked with violent youthful offenders, and I go to the cemetery, try to go at least once, twice a month, and thank mom and dad for being mom and dad.
Yep.
Because I had a bunch of kids who, some didn't even know who dad was.
Yeah.
Some moms, and through no fault of their own, well, they ended up with me. And some of they did the crimes. I'm not making excuses for them. But, boy, a lot of social service agencies got to catch up with the 21st century kids.
Yeah.
They're not, this isn't the nuclear, I had someone not long ago, Smitty. Not a month ago, tell me, well, I don't know what's happened to the nuclear family. It blew up.
Right. Well, Sheriff Carmen Massimiano.
Yeah.
Another, you know, God rest his soul.
Yeah, God rest his soul.
Longtime sheriff, longtime school committee member in Pittsfield.
Yeah.
And I always remember him telling me, either we educate them here in school, or I will be educating them at the House of Correction on 2nd Street. You know,
pay me now, pay me later.
Pay me now or pay me later. And if we invest in our children today, whether mom and dad are together or not, is an investment that will pay huge dividends for us in the future or cost us a lot of money in the future. So we need to take a reboot the system. And it goes back to it takes a village.
That's right.
And we can't assume mom and dad are there reading books for our children in pre-kindergarten. The community's got to step up and try to help out.
Exactly.
No.
Many thanks. I'll be in touch. See you next week.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. And to folks, I know, again, this upsets some people, but this is my belief. I'm asking God to bless you all. Bless Smitty. Bless all of us. And today, try to lift somebody's burden. Try to help them out. Because we're all in this together. And whatever we do for each other, we'll get back. And whatever we do to hurt each other, we'll get back. So, again, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Smitty, you're a good man. And say hi to the family for me.
I will. Thank you, Bill.
They won't change my gifts, my birth certificate. I asked. They're being real sticky. They won't let me be William Patrick Pignatelli Sturgeon. I don't know.
That's okay. You did well on your own.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for everything.